जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरुथारे। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरुथारे। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना। यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जयो राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमारेशि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभु पार की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आगर श्री असमल भवती। आगर श्री असमल भवती। आगर श्री असमल भवती। आगर श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text Number 41. Word meanings, Yavantaha, whatsoever, as many as, Gokule, in Gokula, Bala, boys, Savatsaha, along with their calves, Sarve, all, Eva, indeed, he, because, Maya, Ashaye, on the bed of Maya, Shayana, are sleeping. May, my, na, not, adya, today, api, even, puna, again, utita, have risen. Yavanto gokule bala, savatsa sarva evahi. Maya shaye shayana me, najapi punarutita, yavanto gokule bala, savatsa sarva evahi, maya shaye shayana me. Nadyapi punarutita, yavanto gokule bala, savatsa sarva evahi, Maya Shaye Shayaname Nadyapi Punarutita
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma thought, whatever boys and calves there were in Gokul, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency, and to this very day they have not yet arisen again. Purport. Actually, right before the purport, let me just read the verse before again, because this is when Lord Brahma, he's been gone for a year, and he just got back. We know we had a little thing with Balaram, but now he just returned. When Lord Brahma returned after a moment of time had passed, according to his own measurement, he saw, although by human measurement a complete year had passed, Lord Krishna, after all this time, was engaged just as before in playing with the boys and calves who were his expansions. And then today's verse, Lord Brahma thought, whatever boys and calves there were in Gokul, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency. And to this very day, they have not yet arisen again. Prabhupada's purport. For 1 year, Lord Brahma kept the calves and boys lying down in a cave by his mystic power. Therefore, when Brahma saw Lord Krishna still playing with all the cows and calves, he began to reason about what was happening. What is this? He thought. Maybe I took those calves and cowherd boys away, but now they have been taken from the cave. Is this what happened? Has Krishna brought them back here? Then, however, Lord Brahma saw that the calves and the boys he had taken were still in the same mystic maya unto which he had put them. Thus, he concluded that the calves and cowherd boys now playing with Krishna were different from the ones in the cave. He could understand that although the original calves and boys were still in the cave where he had put them, Krishna had expanded himself, and so the present demonstration of calves and boys consisted of expansions of Krishna. They had the same features, the same mentality, and the same intentions, but they were all Krishna. Om Agyana. To Mirandasya jana jana salakaya chaksus meditanyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in ignorance, darkness. Also Lord Brahma, he could say that too. He looked around and he didn't know what was going on then. So this isn't unusual for him. This happened once before, at least, when he found himself on the top of a lotus flower. So imagine, okay, you just wake up one morning, and you look around, and you're on the top of a lotus flower. Now what? And so, okay, well, where is it? So this illusion, oh, I always offer my obeisances also to Jayatam Surito 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 Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Mat Sarvasva Patambojo Radha Madana Mohano. And then actually in the Bhagavatam it always there's these nice verses which I just lost my place on there in the beginning of chapter 2. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Sukha Dev Goswami, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyas, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement of the cream of Vedic knowledge after personally assimilating it by experience. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and the whole parampara, since it's by their mercy that this is taking place in Srila Prabhupada specifically. So we're talking a little about this bewilderment of Lord Brahma. And in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we always say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, my Lord, Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, oh, all-pervading person of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth, the primeval cause of all causes of creation, substance, and destruction of the material, of the manifest universe. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. So that was the verse, the part of that verse that I was specifically mentioning. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire, land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of material nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from illusion, whose illusory representation of the material world. I therefore meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So that's what we're going to practice a little bit today. So I was thinking about illusion, and every one of us has this potency exhibited upon us. And where did it start? Who else? So I was also thinking about this illusion. Sometimes it's entertaining. Who knows when illusion is entertaining? People pay money to see it. Magic shows. You go and you watch the magic, and you watch it, and you can't figure out how they did it. It's a sleight of hand, different types of things, and you're watching and watching, and you're being entertained. And then sometimes they even show you and then do it again, and you're still, it got you again. I know how it was working, but still it gets you. So sometimes the magic isn't so funny because the illusion that we're in is causing birth and death. So we're here to understand how the illusion is taking place. However, that's not enough. So here's a couple hints that they gave us in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is as brilliant as the sun, giving us all the answers to the illusion that we're presently so, at least for myself, deeply sunk. Lord Brahma, right, because he's doing this illusion, sleight of hand, he's doing this illusion, taking the cowherd boys away, but also just one other little side point I just thought of. In business, they also illusion you into buying a product you don't want. They also get you to smoke cigarettes that kills you, but people do it and spend so much money. So this idea, it's a type of power that people get. They call it profit. I've figured out how to take your energy from you. Even though you don't want to give it, you're thinking you're getting something for it. So this giving them the business, con men, is when it was blatantly bad. But nowadays, they call it Wall Street. There's so many different ways that your energy is being taken from you because they're smarter than you. They figured out how to illusion you. So, and also in... It goes pretty deep, actually, near Mathurana. Even in relationships in this world, someone wants to make them think, I can provide for you, I could take care of you. Oh, my hero. You know, the fallible soldiers of this world. So here's how it started. Started chapter 3, verse 12, text 2. Brahma. Since we're talking about Brahma's energy, he likes to do this. He first created Neshin engagements, like self-deception, the sense of death. Anybody have been deceived and sense of death? Anger after frustration? Anybody ever been angry? This is all part of the mystic potency of Lord Brahma, putting us under this anger after frustration, a sense of frost ownership. This is mine. I and mine form the basis, the foundation for which you can build the rest of your illusion on very nicely. This is our foundation, I and mine. Sense of false ownership. How about this next one? See if anybody has been under this one before. The illusory bodily conception. A couple chuckles on that one. So... Lord Brahma again, or forgetfulness of one's real identity. So what is that forgetfulness of real one's identity? There you go. That's the start. We put that in there and everything else simply falls into place. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Before the factual creation of the living entities and different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live was created by Brahma. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material condition of life. So this is what we're trying to do. Remember what our condition is. Jivair Surupoi Krishnair Nityadas. And then Lord Brahma, he also, he prayed to Krishna. He says, how is it that I can, because now that he's starting to get things organized, he's concerned that this idea of controller, the anartha of controller was reminded to me, that this is what this pastime, this part is about, is this anartha. So how it is that I can do something and not think that it's by my ability that I'm doing that. So here we're seeing how Krishna is always better. So he prayed in the beginning, before the nutshell verses, how it is that pride won't enter into me by thinking I am the supreme in this, and have pride. So the nutshell verses, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam was to remove this anartha of the illusion that Lord Brahma's in, we're suffering from. So it's about this understanding. When you try to illusion someone who's superior to you, it doesn't work. So we try to outsmart Krishna. Does that make sense? But you know, that's what the mind says to you all the time. The mind's always got a plan on how to outsmart Krishna, outsmart the material energy, outsmart. Does it work? Upendra shakes his head, no, it doesn't work. How'd you find out? Well, sometimes I often think like the word humble should be replaced by humbled with a D on it. Because nobody's actually humble, but everybody's humbled. So it seems like that word comes first. Anyway, so with Lord Brahma, he's going through it again. It's not that just the first time that was enough. It seems like we're always on a continual process of every day applying what we learn. And then as we apply it, there's this potency, just like we were reading, I think it was Tom Harwood, right around then, there's the four ways that Lord Balaram was uncovered by Yogamaya. And each covering, each stage that we're uncovered is because there's a certain experience that goes along with that uncovering. Like with this particular moment in time for Lord Brahma, what he's going through, he's recognizing some element about Krishna right now. And this is very nourishing to his his spiritual, his service attitude. Because when we offer prayers to Krishna, it's nice to enter into, by factual realization, the different meanings. So here's another verse that I thought was specifically nice, because we're talking about mystery. There's a mystery and there's mysticism. So those two seem to go together, the mystery and the mysticism. So this mystery was enlightened by recollection of that Gayatri embodied the three Vedas. Brahma became acquainted with the expanse ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all the Vedas, with this hymn. And Prabhupada's or Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Saraswati's purport was, Brahma thought thus within himself, by recollection of the Kamak Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. That's the quote. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is quoting what Brahma was thinking. And he says, by recollection of the Kamak Gayatri, it seems to me that I'm eternal maidservant of Krishna. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. All the truths of the Vedas revealed to him with the help of those essence of the Vedas. He offered this prayer to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Srimad Mahaprabhu has taught this hymn to his favorite disciples inasmuch as it contains all the transcendental truths regarding Vaishnava philosophy. Readers are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn with care and attention as a regular daily function. So this is part of our sadhana, that we're supposed to enter into these, the Brahma Samhita prayers that Srila Prabhupada has put into our sadhana. Govinda Mahadi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami. Prabhupada once commented on that, and he says, Krishna's listening when you say that, and there's one word that he listens to in that verse more than all the other words. Anybody want to take a... That's it, Tam Aham Bhajami. That your offering, your heart, Krishna is looking for that offering, just like when Pushpam Palam, whatever you're offering, he's looking for that bhakti. Okay. So then we can move along a little, that with this illusion, there's some illusions that we see how easy it is to be an illusion. We even pay for it with a magic show, even after understanding it. So this illusion is imposed on us. How is it that we can go beyond it? We're learning. We're in a very, very unique position, is that we're getting, they had a show once on TV some years ago where this person who's an expert magician was showing how all the tricks were done. He got in a lot of trouble with some of the magicians. But, you know, it didn't make any difference. Even if you know how it's working, it's still, they work almost the same. And where's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? It's everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something for even a moment. So, what do you do? Even a man of discrimination is sometimes carried away. So, what a precarious condition we're in. Okay. Oh, that was... I've kind of jumped around a little bit. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand the Bhagavad Gita because it is a great mystery. So that was from Prabhupada's introduction. He says there's a mystery involved with this. And even though we hear it and we understand it, that's not enough to stop it. So how do you stop it? Should it be of any interest to us that we're an illusion that's going to kill us in a very short period of time? And we're being forced to do things that are bad for us all the time. And, you know, one of the unique features is some of that is considered happiness. So people think that they're doing something for happiness, which is actually killing them. Of course, that's a general definition of an intoxicant. You know, you ask somebody why they're taking intoxicants, and they says it makes them happy. But people have intelligence that's not under the influence that says, no, it's not making you happy. It's killing you. It's taking away your control. So if we're supposed to control the mind, who's controlling it now? Has anybody ever tried to control the mind? Is that possible? Who's controlling it? So somebody with superior power is controlling your mind now. So just like Lord Brahma, he tried to outsmart Krishna. He tried to use his power, but it didn't work. So if we use our own power to control the mind, who's been successful at that? Has anybody been successful at controlling the mind? Well, I'm getting confirmation they're having a little trouble controlling their mind right now. They're thinking I'm a little baby. Things aren't just right. So we're only a little bit older, so we're not allowed to say it out loud. And so in our minds, or when we're by ourselves, we also have those moments, depression. What is it that's going on? How come this is so hard? So these hints are being given to us. Why they're only hints? Who knows why they're only hints that are, even if it's an open secret, you can even say to everybody what's going on. But still, how does that work? So, of course, Krishna, he explains in the fourth chapter, Keshava helped me with this one. He says, this very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme today, its relationship with the Supreme today is is told by me to you, because you are my devotee, as well as my friend. And therefore you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So it's a transcendental mystery. Who likes a mystery? So much, it's a very popular selling category of books, mystery books. Who done it? You know, they want to find that out. So, of course, Prabhupada said there's two classes of men, namely the devotees and the demons. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science, owing to him being a devotee of the Lord. But for the demon, it's not possible to understand this great mysterious science. That explains it. You know, that's why I can't understand anything. But it says if you chant Hare Krishna, after a while, your heart gets cleansed and you start to become purified, where you start to understand it. What a great, incredible illusion this material world is. But how can one understand it unless he becomes a devotee? So I was going to read one more point. He starts off, but in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13, he says, he's going to give you a glimpse of how this illusion is working, and those who have are not under the illusion so heavily, they can see it. It says, Arjuna asked, he said, my dear Krishna, I wish to know about this nature and about the enjoyer, and about this field, because the bodily conception, we understand that was imposed on us by Lord Brahma. This idea that this body is me, this misidentification, and that caused everything else to fall into place. The knower of the field and of knowledge and the object of knowledge. And then Krishna started talking to him. And he said, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the field. So it's a field, the field of activities. And one who knows the body is the knower of the field. He said, you should understand that I'm also the knower of all bodies. Wow. Now that's inconceivable. Krishna knows what's going on in every body. And to understand this body and the knower of the body is called knowledge. That's Krishna's opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. This is Krishna's opinion. You should understand the body and the knower of the body. And then he says, now, please, so polite, hear a brief description of the field of activities, how it's constituted, what its changes are, hence it's produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. Do you have any control at all over this situation? What's going on here? We're in illusion. We're dying. There's a blissful world. We're hearing about it. All we have to do is know how to do a couple things, how to surrender to the Lord. And then all these come up. Just like if you were born in darkness, it's dark now in the morning. You can't see anything. And then the light comes up. You start to see silhouettes, no color, no depth perception, just some silhouettes. So you start to get an idea of what's actually out there. You don't know where you are. You don't know what's going on. So you start to see. He says, that knowledge of the field of activities and know our activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is specially presented in the Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning to cause and effect. So that's how you reason, according to cause, the effect. And then actually you get to see cause in the effect and the effect in the cause. You see them as one unit as time progresses. Enjoy the self within the self in due course time. Then he just breaks it down a little bit. What's it made up of? He says the five great elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. The false ego, the intelligence, the unmanifest, the ten senses, the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and conviction. All these considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interaction. So this little trick that's being played, it's not such a simple thing to understand. It's got some complexity to it, but it all gets revealed to you. But it's so great. It's called Maha Maya. Such a great illusion. So what are some of the qualifications to try to understand that? You know what the very first one is? What's the word? Amaniyatam. Humility. I can't even read. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of the false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age, detachment, freedom from the entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and the philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides that, whatever there may be is ignorance. Whatever else. Very conclusive. Then he says, I'll now explain to you the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, that lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. So he's even presenting it like a mystery. You know, like, oh, what's next? He says, okay, I'll give you a little taste just to whet your appetite. What do they call them? Appetizers. They just give you a little appetizer before the meal, get your digestion stimulated so you'll be able to have your full capacity to digest everything else. They give you this appetizer, or in some places they just give you a lot of bread to fill you up because they give you a little bit, but that's a different thing. He says, everywhere are his hands and legs. Everywhere are his hands and legs? His eyes, heads and faces. He has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. So you thought you were going to outsmart him, but imagine he's got security cameras everywhere. He's hearing everything, seeing everything that's going on. So this helps develop that humility. Krishna, I can't hide. I'm completely bare in front of you, and you know what I'm thinking. So, help. What are we going to do? The super soul is the original source of all the senses, yet he's without senses. He's unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living entity. He transcends the modes of nature. At the same time, he is the master of the modes of nature. So you can see he's always playful and entertaining how he says that. I mean, how he says that. He says, he's the source of all the senses, but I don't have any senses. I don't have material senses. So you have to at least pick up, he's jolly. Krishna's always jolly. He's smiling in the midst of both armies. The supreme truth exists where? Outside and inside of all living beings. The moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he's beyond the power of the material senses to see or know. Although far, far away, he's also very near to all. Although the super soul appears to be divided amongst all beings, he's never divided. He's situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living being, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. He is the source of all light, of all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and unmanifest. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. He is the goal of knowledge. And he is situated in everyone's heart. Thus, the field of activities, this body, knowable, and knowledge have been summarily described by me. Did you get it? All right, now you got it. He already described it. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly And that what will happen if they understand this thoroughly? And thus, what's next? What will happen if you got that thus? Oh, there's this voice from the unembodied. Oh, no, it's not got an embodied voice. It's Pushkar. And thus obtain my nature. What's Krishna's nature? Satchit Ananda. All right. So if you get it right, it's a nice prize. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformation and the modes of nature are products of the material nature. He says nature is said to be the cause of material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyment in this world. Almost done. All living entities' material nature thus follow different ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. Thus, this is due to his association with the material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Yet, he always, such a nice speaker. Yet, in this body, there is another transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor who exists as the overseer and permitter, who is known as the Supersoul. One who understands, here's another one of those verses. These are quite incredible. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to obtain liberation. If that's not enough, the next sentence says, he will not take birth here again. If that's not enough, regardless of his present position. Did you get it? So in the same time, how much confidence he's saying, if you just understand these points, he says, one who understands this philosophy, pay attention, concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interactions of modes of nature, is sure to obtain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. That's nice to know. Some perceive the Supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through cultivation of knowledge, and still others by working without fruitive desires. And, in case you're not one of those, and again, there are those, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Shravanam. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. And who knows the verse 10:14:3? Usually have to give the first couple words to get. For those who have dedicated their lives to these narrations from those devotees, pure devotees, giving up a couple things, then what are the two things they give up? You either have to say it louder or say the English too for the rest of us. Which, do you know how to say that in English? Oh, say in Bengali. All right. I think I've run out of time already. There's a couple, well, actually, just a couple more verses. One who sees the Supersoul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the Supersoul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, he actually sees. And what's some of the benefits of that? One who sees the Supersoul equally present everywhere in every living being, what happens, does not degrade himself by his mind, which the opposite is, you will degrade yourself with your mind if you're not seeing this. Thus he approaches a transcendental destination. One who can see that all activities are pertaining by are performed by the body, which is created by the material nature, and sees itself, does nothing at all, actually sees. When a sensible man, okay, ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies and sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he obtains the Brahman conception. Those with this vision of eternity can see the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the material body. O Arjuna, soul does the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. The sky, here's an example, so you can understand. How is that possible? The sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything. Some people say that the air is dirty. The air is not dirty. The air is always the air, but there's particles floating in it. So it says, the sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it is all-pervading. Similarly, the soul, situated in Brahman vision, does not mix with the body, although situated in it. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma. O son of Bharat, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. Those who see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body, the knower of the body, can understand the process of liberation from the material bondage and obtain to the supreme goal. So that's almost what I had to say, but I'm out of time. If there's any questions or comments, we can go on, or we can end. I thank you very much. Oh, Pran Govinda has his hand up. He took the microphone and left. He takes the mic.
Four
29:31. But where's Raghu in that example?
Then furthermore, one thing more. So we hear, then if I am associating, then I can see. Then when I execute, then I feel.
So
it's a very gradual progression.
But he says that there's a reason why we don't see that. And he compared it to the planet Raghu. And he says that the reason you don't see the sun is because the clouds. He says, one after another. But in this particular verse, he says, sometimes you can take all your, it's the material desires. He says, you can take all your material desires and put them together, or they come together as one unit. One unit, and you call it material desires. You deal with it as one unit, as another, like I remember I was talking to this one person who was in distress because of a material desire they had. So I asked them, is the material desire the distress, or is it because you're not fulfilling your material desire that was distress? And she says, because I didn't get what I wanted, I'm in distress. And I said, no, it's the material desire itself. So when you can group all your material desires as one unit and deal with them as one unit, that is compared to, in this verse, it was the planet Rahu that's blocking the sun, but it'll silhouette so you can see all your material desires, which are based on the illusion, which is based on ahankar, which is based, I'm still researching this word, I need a dhatu expert, mat sometimes means my It doesn't mean in this verse matsara.
Matsara means fishy.
Fishy?
Yes. Big fish wants to swallow the small fish.
Ah.
The matsara, the word written by Baruch, means big fish wants to eat the small fish.
The big fish wants to eat the small fish wants to eat the big fish. So here's an example of Lord Brahma trying to eat Krishna. His illusion, it backfired. So when I, because I didn't know how to look at it, I was saying the essence is sara sometimes. So oh, yeah, yeah, right. No, it's... Well, it's also interesting to note, as a devotee is becoming uncovered, that Krishna also works the different illusions. Like, for instance, the teeth are broken in that verse. Prabhupada Saraswati talks about how the teeth are broken in, or extracted, depending where which part you read, on how the material senses are compared to serpents, and they're very venomous. They can kill you. But when one becomes a devotee, then, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole universe becomes happy because the teeth have lost their potency. So sometimes when you're in Krishna consciousness early in the morning, chanting nicely, and the mind comes by with one of the thoughts that it usually has during the day that you may entertain, when you see it in the morning, you almost laugh at it. That's ridiculous. How would I ever fall for that? You know, to think that this is a source of happiness. This you can see clearly. But then a little while later, the mode of passion comes, and you see it again, and you may fall for it again. And then the next morning you think, how did I do that? It's so clear. So in the mode of goodness, one sees clearly. In the mode of passion, it gets clouded up. But so you're happy. In the mode of goodness, you're happy because you know better. Been there, done that. An incessant flow of desires, he doesn't go after him, so he's peaceful. In the mode of passion, you may you get caught. Please forgive my offenses, Lord Brahma, if I've said anything. All the devotees, you've already got me pretty well wrapped up. Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada.